Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It is another episode of DadCast. I am JP. That guy is Nick Martin. Nick, how are you, bud?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Oh, fantastic, man. I love doing this show, but there are some days that you're like, you know what? Something feels different about this show today, and this happens to be one of those shows, man. We've got not one, but two incredibly awesome guests, and the dynamic of this is that it is a father-son duo. So let's get right to the introductions. First of all, he needs no introduction, but let's do it. Grammy-nominated songwriter, artist, and just an amazing guy, musician all around. He is Modest Yahoo. Hello, sir. How are you, man? Thanks for coming on.
What's up? How's it going? Thanks for having me. Awesome.
Good, good. And joining us is up-and-coming artist, songwriter, extraordinaire myself. And don't think I haven't done my research, man. I dumped into the TikTok and the Instagram earlier today. His son, Shalom, stage name known as Dove Bear. How are you, bud? Thanks for coming on, man.
Good, good. Thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. So the very first question, it's a rite of passage here on DadCast. We know the answer, obviously, already, but it's going to direct it to you at Modest Yahoo. Are you a dad?
Yes.
Yes, I am. Yes, we figured as much.
Very much so.
Let's delve into that a little bit, man. How many children do you have? Names, ages, the whole gamut.
Okay, I got six kids, four boys and two girls. My oldest is his older brother, Levy. So him and Levy's 18, Shalom's 17, and Menachem is about to be 13, is about to be bar mitzvahed. They're all with my ex-wife. We lived in Crown Heights in Brooklyn. Then we moved to L.A. And then ended up coming back to New York, New Jersey, tri-state area. Sorry about that there. And then I have another daughter, Sasha, who lives in your home state in Oregon, in Bend, Oregon. She is about to be 10 years old.
Oh, boy.
Yep. And then me and my wife have two kids, Esty and Judah. They're 4 and 2. And that's six. So we're typically, right now, Levy's in Israel, but typically at least five of us are together most of the majority of the time, unless we're touring or traveling or whatever. And Sasha, we see less frequently, but she's a huge part of our family.
Dude, that is amazing. You're very right cool. Up there with Nick. Nick over there, I think last count was 87 kids, Nick.
Yeah.
Nah, not well, that many, but he is right there with you with a little, what, she's almost two now.
No, she just turned one.
She turned one. Okay.
We'll do the thing I hate the most. She's 14 months.
Oh, yeah. When you're in that stage.
When do you stop saying their age by months?
18 months is it.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
After that, my kid's a year and a half years old. Right. Shalom, you'll get there one day. You'll get there one day. It's a topic of conversation is, you know, some women are like, how old's your kid? Oh, 113 months.
And then you're just like stumped. Wait, you're like,
now I have to do math. It's not good. Yeah.
If it's more than two, then it's ridiculous to say that.
Exactly.
Then you're already like, wait, why wouldn't you just say two and.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy, man. Shalom, man. So I got to ask you, is this, how many podcasts have you done? Is this your first official interview?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Well, exciting. Well, thank you, man. We appreciate it, dude. It's really cool.
Yeah, thank you for hitting me back on Instagram too. Like I felt your music popped up and I'm like, oh shit, this guy's amazing. And then finding out you're Modest Yahoo's son, I'm like, damn, wow. So good. So yeah, thank you.
That's a good question for you, Shalom. Now you've got some serious help in the industry. You know, you got pops backing you up, all that. Is there any living in the shadow for you right now, or is it you guys? I mean, what's it like for you right now? Starting out.
I definitely have it. Like we just came to end a 2 month tour, and I was performing with him every night. But also, like, my older brother is also a singer, so there's definitely that shadow and, like, kind of trying to break out of it and create your own path, for sure.
Awesome, dude.
So when you're opening for your dad, do you ever, like, go out there and, like, man, I want to get the crowd so hyped up that it's so hard for him to come on after me? Do you ever go out like that?
Well, I've been playing, like, two songs during mid-set, so he'll be, like, doing this thing about, like, halfway through the show, he'll call me up, and I'll just, like, bang out two songs, and, killing it.
Nice.
So it's been like,
what is What have you learned from your dad over there? If like if you could say one thing, most important thing you've learned from your dad so far, what would it be? It's so weird like asking the son this question.
On this particular tour you're saying, or in general?
In life, in general. In
life. I mean, there's a lot I've learned from him. Like, there's musically, and then there's just, like, life lessons and stuff. Like, just being yourself. Like, not being focused on, like, who's around you, what other people say, and trying to, like, stick to your own path. And then there's also just, like, musically, the advice that I'm able to get from him and be able to learn so much and kind of impact. But yeah, just not kind of not let anyone kind of, like, get involved in your way and just stick to your path and do what you believe in and go get it. Chase your dreams.
That's some pretty sound advice. Modest Yahoo. Now, flip side.
Yes.
Six kids, two of them taking the career in the musician side of things. How proud are you, man? I mean, is that something you wanted for them, or are you a more of a let them walk their own path and see where it goes type father?
Well, I'm definitely like let them walk their own path, but I think that, you know, to some extent, I felt that these are my sons. And so I'm going to try to influence to some extent. I'll give you a good example of that. We lived in L.A. and we were at the time I was, you know, me and my wife at the time were both very religious. And the only organized sports for kids around was like a baseball league that had like a kosher hot dog truck. And so like all the kids wanted to play baseball because of that kosher hot dog truck. And at that, whatever it was, Sundays or whatever, it was like a madhouse. It was like being in Borough Park or something. Not really Borough Park because it wasn't Hasidic, but I'm just saying it was like, and I never liked baseball. I was never a fan of baseball. I was bad at baseball. I couldn't play baseball. And then like watching baseball, I never understood the game. So I grew up playing ice hockey. We were in LA and I got some tickets right up against the boards. And it was, we happened to be in LA. Four of the two of the in, during the time when they won the Stanley Cup 2 years out of three. And so we started going to games. They fell in love with the sport. And then we eventually moved back to New Jersey and they joined pretty high level ice hockey team that actually is Shomer Shabbos. It's like one of a kind, the only one in the country. They're New Jersey. Both of them were New Jersey state champions on different teams and with a team that never played on Shabbos. So like, you know, they both fell in love with hockey. They enjoyed hockey, but I don't think you can't force your kids into anything, but you definitely are like, you're the one who's going to have to go sit through all those games.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's kind of good for everybody if you're in a good mood and you're not, you know, you want to be enjoying what you're doing. But I think it is definitely like one of the biggest blessings when I think now in my life, I think about it. The fact that my two oldest boys are into what I do and I don't know how to do that much else. So, you know, it gives us a reason, you know, not just a reason, but it gives us the ability to spend time together, to work on things together. And I think as a dad with a teenager, that's kind of, you know, really what you're looking for. You kind of shift from, you know, into different, you know, positions as a father at different ages, and you become a coach at some point, and you know that's kind of one stage, you know. And so for me, it's great that I'm able to coach because you know they do what I do. But
that's amazing, man. So is it Go that's Kings Go, or are you guys Ranger fans?
Oh, that's a great question. That's a great. Jonathan Quick is now on the New York Rangers, who was
right, and he went to Vegas for a little bit.
Did he go to Vegas?
Yeah. At least he was last year, the year when they won the Stanley Cup again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a hard time with that, man. Vegas is like my second home. And it was there with my lady. And I'm like, you know what? Kings are in town. Let's go catch a game. And I'm, you know, born and bred LA Kings fan, but I really like the Vegas Knights because I'm in Vegas all the time. So here we are. Who do I root for? Kings. Anyway, come on, you know,
you gotta go. Like, I went back to being a Rangers fan because I'm from New York, but he kind of fell in love with hockey while I lived in LA, so he's still a Kings fan.
All right, attaboy.
Go Kings, go.
Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna take you back. This is from Modest Yahoo. Is it Mr. Yahoo or is it Modest? Or you know,
you call me Modest.
Modest. All right.
People call me Modest. Yeah.
Your oldest son. How old is he?
18.
All right. So I'm take you back about 18 and a half, 19 years ago. You were informed.
What if I was like 163 months?
Good. I know you're pretty good at math. That's what I think. You take you back to 19 years ago, and you were informed somehow, some way, that you were in fact be going to become a first-time father. Can you recall the emotions and thoughts of that day?
Let me try to take myself back. I mean, I remember the time period, and I remember the day he was born, but the moment that I found out, I don't know that I can recall that particular moment, to tell you the truth.
All right, but overall, in the weeks that passed, what was the emotional state of Modest Yahoo on those weeks?
That's a really great question. I think, let's see, Levy was born in, when are you born, Shalom? 2006?
Levy was 2005.
August of 2005. So that would have meant I found out that she was pregnant probably...
January, February, give or take.
Yeah, maybe January, February of 2005. That was right before Stubbs had come out. We were at like South by Southwest around that time, and touring. On my first tour, I had bought a 15-passenger van, so I was not around their mother at the time. I think I probably found out over the phone, is my guess. Yeah, man. Honestly, I was pretty wrapped up at that point in this whole career that was taking off, and I was like 23 years old or 24 years old, something like that. So it was kind of a whirlwind, and my memories of that time are very few. But and I haven't really gone back and really tried to process or think through that. I mean, I have along the way, but I do know that everything completely changed from the moment that Levy was born, from the moment that I had my first son. And it completely like changed me, as people talk about, you know, all the time. It was like a night and day shift for me. Yeah, man, he was like, he just became like my little buddy. We just like, I would take him to shul. I would take him to the mikvah. I would watch him at that point. Talia, his mom, and him would come everywhere on tour. He had a passport within a few weeks. So we were flying to tour in Europe, or we were on the tour bus or whatever it was. His little pack and play was everywhere. And then, like, you know, 12, 13, 14 months later, Shalom came along. So that was the unit. It was like Levy and Shalom. And we were just running around the country or the world for the first, I would say, 3 to 4 years of their life.
I remember one thing that stood out for me for you. I've seen you at so many shows in either Bend or Jacksonville. Every time I see you, you've got your family and you're always wandering around, stroller, hanging out with the kiddos. And just like, it's just awesome to see you interact with your family. Whereas I've seen so many other musicians, and it's just like, it's business. It's just like, we're at a show. It's all business. It's not anything awesome. And it's just the thing that stands out for me is wow, this guy's, he's a dad, he's doing it, and it's just killing it. So
I don't know about you, but my family is my business, period.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. Go ahead.
What is that? So you got the oldest sons there, and you got the daughters. For you, in Modest's life, the dynamic between raising a son and a daughter, how is that different for you?
Well, to be honest with you, raising a daughter is relatively new for me. With the boys, it was sort of like the three boys, and then with me and their mom got divorced, and I got split custody of them. So they were with me, you know, Sunday through Wednesday. And it was just like, we were just like a pack, and we kind of just all slept on top of each other and like ate the same food, and the house was under construction. So we were living in a.
He's on pause.
One room thing where there's like a TV. Who's on? Am I on pause?
No, you're good now. You just froze up for a second.
Oh. Okay, cool. Yeah. So we were just kind of like a unit, and then we moved back to New York, and I got this house, this big old Victorian house, and had a swimming pool and a studio there. So it was just kind of like, it was just us. And then I ended up managing a group of guys that were like 19 years old. So they were living at the house. So 19-year-olds that were in a band that I was managing, seven of us or whatever in this house with no female, like there was no one really paying attention to a lot of stuff. And at that point, you know, there was just musical instruments set up everywhere, you know, and these guys were like kind of older brothers to my sons, and they would be like, oh, check out this program or check out this drum. And they would, you know, there would be just gear set up everywhere all over where there would normally be couches and stuff. There would be like, you know, just like amps and drums and all kinds of stuff. So that was one, you know, one phase of our life. And then Sasha was born, and me and her mother weren't together. So it kind of was, you know, I would travel and I'd go see her on the weekends and stuff. But she also has a heart condition and kind of was a bit of a like tough cookie for me in terms of how much she would allow me to get into her world.
Right.
You know, partially being because I wasn't there all the time, but also just she kind of like went through a lot as a young kid. So she was just like a tough, she had like a tough show. So that was that. And then when I got remarried and I had, Esty, my daughter now, I would say it's like pretty much like, it's the same kind of love, but it's just like, there's definitely the thing of her being your little, yeah, you know, princess, and like your little, like, kind of, she's like almost like, you know, a version of yourself in a female version. It's crazy, you know, mixed with a woman who's hopefully a bit better than you are. So it's kind of like everything steps up a little bit. So, I mean, it's been an incredible experience. And then it's also helped me with my older daughter as well. And kind of, cause Esty and Sasha are like, have this crazy strong bond. So that's been kind of like healing for all of the different units involved in the families and whatnot. The girls kind of
right,
kind of help that healing process.
That's, you know, amazing. Shalom, what's it like being a big brother to
the boys,
little girls?
It's wild. It's wild, honestly. I mean, but like also like same thing. Like we haven't. It's still new, you know, because Sasha, we haven't seen her whole life.
Right.
I mean, we've seen her like been in and out, but it's just like protect the sister, you know, the little princess.
Right. That's, I wish my kid would think that. So currently, you guys, my son is 13 going on 14. My baby girl, 10, 11, and about a month and a half. They are at the stage, and it feels like this stage has been going on since they were both born. They're always at each other's throats. You know, he did this, she did that. There's the love that I know is there with the siblings, and I know is going to be just much obviously more obvious when they're older, but dad wants it now, man. You know, it's like, get along, you guys. They're just at each other's throats, Nick. It's enough to drive a man crazy sometimes. I'll tell you what, some of the hardships of being a dad, but you know, I wouldn't
tell you, it doesn't end, man. My 18-year-old and 20-year-old, they still hate each other.
No, don't tell me that. We don't want to hear that. Spread the love, man. That's what we want. What's
great though is Liam and Sophie. They're like best buddies right now, so it's fantastic.
Enjoy it.
Yeah, I've got like 5 years.
Right, then they're gonna start being, you know, they did that. I mean, exactly. It's the most trivial things. When they say they get so upset because they have to drink out of an orange cup instead of the blue one, I mean, these are facts, you guys. You know, yeah, Modest. You know, your dad, I'm sure you've seen it. They get upset for the most ridiculous reasons. It tastes
different out of the orange cup. Come on, man.
Yeah. So,
I mean,
so,
the dynamic of brothers and sisters and siblings is just incredible. And it's been one of my favorite things to watch. Sometimes, obviously, frustrating as hell. And but it's watching the way that personalities are different, even though you're from the same DNA and grow up in the same experience,
right?
But because the dynamic is different, and you can see how people's personalities like develop in certain ways, and like with Levy and his brother, that was like tremendous. We could see it so much, and they both decided to get into music, but their style and their approach to it, you know, is different. And you know, growing up, their kind of approach to life in some ways was different, but always kind of like, you know, they were bouncing off of each other. You know what I mean? Their way of looking at life always kind of was viewed through, okay, like how does the brother look at this, you know, in a lot of ways, right. You know? At least for younger brother, and then for Levy always having, you know, someone there too. So I think it's interesting. The dynamics are very interesting. And then when you bring young kids into it and step parents and all kinds of mixing all kinds of things into it, it's just like becomes this stew that can be like beautiful and it can be really difficult sometimes, obviously, but it is the incredible aspect of life.
Call me crazy, but there's the title. You ready? The Incredible Aspect of Life, starring Modest Yahoo and family, the next miniseries on Netflix. We're talking step parents. Yeah. We're talking life, musician on the road, music, traveling. I'd watch it. Yeah. I'm just saying, Netflix, give them a call.
It's pretty cool. I mean, like with my current situation, we were on tour and like it felt like half the tour was made up of our family. We had so me and my wife is a bit younger than I am. And so when she first started coming on tour, I like right away called up her father, make sure he was cool with this whole situation. And he just like came to tour and like hasn't left since. Basically, he's become like one of my best friends and kind of like a staple. And he's literally the only one who can handle like our 2-year-old boy is just insane. And so on the tour bus, he sleeps in a bunk. And when he wakes up in the night, there's like band members right there. You know, we can't have a kid crying, like waking up the entire bus. So he just like jumps down from the bunk above and like knows how to cuddle him or bring him, handle him. So we have him. We've got, so that's Pops. And then we got my wife and Esty and Judah. Then we got Shalom, you know, doing his thing and helping out. And it's definitely a family vibe when we like roll into a place, like you had said before, it's like, all right, like who's part of the family here? It feels like almost everybody that's part of the crew is. So it's fun. It's great to be able to do that. For me, that's been like an important thing. There was a time when I was not touring with my family all the time when the boys were a little bit older and they were in school. And I found that to be very difficult, not just like lonesome, but hard to really to stay grounded and to stay focused and not be like schlepped into all the garbage that's out there. So for me, it became almost like I kind of like had kind of made it like almost a mandatory thing. Like, all right, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to need family around me. And that, you know, that's super, super important for me.
But, you know, and that the demand list for the tour, having the family around is a whole hell of a lot better than, you know, green M&Ms, if you ask me.
So, yeah.
Yes. Well done. Shalom. All right, man. It is your time. I got the question. All right. No pressure here. Okay. No stress. But if you were to pinpoint who you are as an artist, what's your genre and where do you want to be in 5 years from now?
My genre, I would say, is a mix of like alternative rock, pop, punk, and kind of hip hop too. So like I have two songs that I released right now. The first one's more on like the pop punk side.
Yep.
And the second one's more on like the hip hop rap kind of trap. But in 5 years, I just want to be building a following, playing my own shows, being able to go on my own tour and kind of have a crew around me of musicians that I like and around my age. And I'm just making more music about my life. Like my life and my music resonates from what's going on in my life and share that to other people, like other teenagers, other kids my age to kind of experience with that and be able to help them through their lives and stuff.
All right. So are you living, awesome. You said it earlier, are you living back in LA or are you in New York?
No, I'm in New York. So okay. I'm living half the week with my dad right now, half the week with my mom doing music. I dropped out of high school right now, so I'm getting my GED, and I'm working and nice. Figuring it out.
But you were just at school, I thought.
Oh, yeah, I was just at school today. I do some Hebrew learning in the mornings,
okay.
I do like tears, and I learn with the rabbis and stuff.
Awesome. All right, so I mean, I'm just going to throw it out there. 5 years from now, we don't have to go crazy, okay? We don't have to say you're the act, but how about 5 years you are opening for whoever you really dig at MSG. Make that a goal. Come on.
Let's go.
Right?
That'd be sick.
That's a good goal, right? 22 years old, playing Madison Square Garden. Ah, that'd be pretty cool.
That would, yeah.
What has been, for you, Shalom, the best thing about sharing a stage with your dad? I mean, I put myself in his shoes and just think about it, and I've worked in radio. That's what I do in life. And I've had opportunities to have my own son on stage with me when I present a band or whatever. And for me, it's just like the greatest thing in the world. But I've never, you know, had to ask the question from the other perspective.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's amazing. Like, also just like when I get on stage, like he'll be doing his set. He'll call me up. I'll sing the song. And just to like see him, he gets so excited like during the show, and he'll be like singing the background vocals, and we're getting like hype on stage, and it's just like amazing to have his support there when I'm being able to perform. Like, I know he's behind me, and he's there.
And what about you, Modest? I mean, I can't even imagine the feelings. I mean, sharing a stage with your boy, doing what you guys love.
Yeah, I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, it's like going up, like if you're a fighter pilot or something, like going up, sorry about that. Did that freeze up for a second?
Oh, you're good.
Let me just put my thing here. So I would say it's like going up together, you know, you get to really like see his approach to performing. And he's obviously new at it, right? So it's not something that's developed for years and years, but it's like his unique approach to how he's going to perform these songs. And then I get the opportunity to try to like give him like, you know, the knowledge that I have. So, you know, whatever that is about pronunciation or eye contact or stage presence or, you know, what to say, what not to say. And the relationship is kind of funny because at this point now I kind of like was doing it with Levy for a bit. Now I've been doing it with Sean for a bit. So now I'm just kind of like busting balls on stage, I think, all the time. I'm just like, you know, correcting him if he says something, you know, off or whatever. Yeah. But honestly, it's been fun to watch him because Shalom has a really, really incredible stage presence. He's kind of like as a kid, he was a really good athlete, quick. You know, and athletic, graceful, but also with good rhythm in terms of like the music that he listened to and when he started rapping and stuff. So his rhythmic sensibility mixed with like his athleticism and his sort of like unique kind of swagger that he has, he makes for a good front man, like rock star. Like he is what that is. So for him, it's just been, you know, built a lot of kids today now. It's like a lot of time spent in the studio, a lot of time like perfecting your voice and perfecting the way everything sounds and becoming like really, really smart about production and how to engineer. And kids can do all kinds of things themselves that we as kids couldn't even imagine doing. Live performance is where it all started, like for me, because for me, it was like there was no real studios to go to. So it was just writing your flows and then rapping them for your friends at parties, in the parking lot, or eventually at open mic nights, you know, in the city. Yeah. And going in. And so it all was about like this, how do you create a live thing? So for Shalom, I think it's cool because I think it gives him like a little bit of an advantage that he's getting this chance to actually get time performing. And as an artist, having both sides, the live side and the studio side, makes you more well-rounded. It makes you more, I think, more of a complete artist. So I think it's been cool for him. It's been fun for me, for sure.
Dude, I bet. Shalom, you can open. I'm sorry, Nick, do you have something?
Yeah, I was going to see you on your tour. What's the like the best venue, like your favorite venue you guys have played this last run?
Ooh.
You go first. I know what mine is.
What? I'm trying to think. There's so many venues that we played at, but it had to be Stubbs probably. Cuz like 15 years ago around, I was 2 years old at my dad's show live at Stubbs 2, so not the first one, the second one. I was sitting side stage. And to intro my dad, he opened up like a Jewish prayer book and he had me like sing and read these like Hasidic prayers into the microphone.
When you were kind of
open this like legendary. Yeah, it was
Stubbs 2, the one with the DVD. Yeah, there's like a, you can see him on there. It's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Who's?
So,
oh, sorry.
So yeah, Stubbs. Probably Stubbs, because that just being back there like 15 years later and being able to perform was amazing.
All right.
So that would be mine.
I'm going to ask the same question of both of you. Shalom first. You can play a show with any artist, living or dead, that you have not previously played with before, who is it going to be? Did I lose y'all? Are you still thinking?
You thinking, Sean?
I'm thinking.
Okay, all right. It got so quiet.
Mine is kind of the obvious one that you would probably think it would be Bob Marley.
Yeah. I just, while you're thinking, Soham, I just went and saw One Love last week with my 10-year-old daughter. That's my kind of movie right there, first of all. Plus, it's Bob Marley, and getting a glimpse into that, just that time period, that life, I was glued to my seat, and I kept looking over at my baby girl, you know, is she into it? Is she interested? Because I really wanted her to be into it, you know? And she gets out and says, Dad, that was so cool. Can you play some Bob Marley on the way home? I'm like, yes, we can.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
I would probably say this artist, he actually passed away. XXXTentacion.
Okay.
Would probably be the number one. He's like a big guy for me, but he's like a rapper, and his just flow and his whole vibe is just amazing.
There you go.
He's great.
There's no wrong answer here, man, and I love it. There you go. Now if we can get both them back somehow on a tour, you know, in some alternate universe. Amazing. Nick, okay, you guys, I got to let you know something here. While you were talking, Nick sent me a text. Apparently, there's something going on with his baby girl, and he needs to go pick her up, so he's going to leave us. But
sorry, guys.
Before he does that, I'm going to make him do a fast five with Modest Yahoo.
Oh, okay.
Favorite five questions.
Ready? Favorite food to cook for your kids?
Turkey sandwiches.
Cool. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
We are hostages now.
Okay. Hold on. Let me find my notes here.
You already did the favorite venue. Okay. Yeah. No. What's your favorite venue you've ever played?
Yeah. Favorite venue you've ever played. That's a good one.
Favorite venue I've ever played. I would say probably like the most beautiful place is it was the Sasquatch Festival is what it was called. It was at the Gorge. The Gorge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, yeah.
Pretty
great venue.
Pretty epic if the weather's right.
That's... Any seriously funny things happen to your kids on tour?
I mean, I find it to be kind of funny. It's maybe kind of quirky, but Shalom's younger brother, one tour, came out on tour, and his mom let him just come. She was supposed to come for a few days. He ended up staying for a few months, and we didn't have a babysitter or anything, so we would just set up a little bed on the side of the stage, but he would walk onto the stage before, and he would always just, you know, he had his headphones on, but he was like maybe 2.5, if that. And he would just sit down on the side of the drum riser. Then he would just fall asleep and just literally pass out, like, for the show on the side of the drum riser, you know, like, as bumping around. So eventually we just put out some, basically, like, a bed on the drum riser for him, like a little kind of blanket pillow situation. And he would just come out during the middle of the show and pass out. It's pretty funny, I guess.
So I think you meant 54 months, by the way. You got anything more, Nick?
I don't.
All right. Nice. Well, dude.
Nice to meet you, Nick.
Yeah, thank you guys.
I'm sorry
so much
for this, you guys. This isn't something that typically happens,
no problem.
But it is the dad life. I'm not going anywhere for the record. He is. But that's the dad life, and he's gotta go get baby girl. Hope everything's all right. Let me know, brother. Yep. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Peace, Nick.
Now it's us. All right. Now we can, you know, we can make fun of Nick while he's gone, you guys, if that's something you're into. All right. What is in store? You know, I know you're heading to Israel next week or 2 weeks, right, Modest?
No, Friday.
Oof, man. What's the purpose of this trip and how you expect it's going to go?
I'm being offered an award by the ministry for speaking out on behalf of Israel So that's one of the main reasons for me going, but also to play shows. The last time I went was right before the tour, and I did play sort of a benefit show, an underplay, but not a lot of people weren't able to make it because of the size of the venue and stuff. So we're coming back now and playing two proper shows, one in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. And I'm just looking forward to being back. I get to see my son. I get to play some shows, connect to the land, connect to the people. Israel was such, being there before my tour was such a huge inspiration and part of what kept me going through this past Hold the Fire tour, was what it was called. So it felt like really complete, full cycle to be able to come back at the end.
Right. Is there any fear at all for you heading to that side of the world with everything going on in the world today?
Not really, no. Good. No. Yeah.
Simple answer. We don't need to delve deep into that. All right. Mm-hmm. What is next for you, Shalom? I mean, you guys just did a little tour. What do we got? I mean, summer's coming up.
Yeah. So next for me, I'm trying to make some money. So I'm locking down a job. Keep working on my music. Keep making more music. And just get ready for next year. I want to get my GED done. Go to like a music school or something. Or maybe work at like a record label or something and try to learn the music business.
Right.
And just keep releasing music, working on my skills. I've been learning how to produce too, and just keep moving forward.
It's good, good, man. You have more skills lined up in that back pocket. It'll help you out. You can't shoulder tap Pops for any money. Hey, Dad.
I don't really give him too much money. I guess one of the, you know, being a younger brother, you kind of make, you have to, you know, the first kid, you kind of make some mistakes along the way with in terms of things that you don't might not know about. So
I wouldn't say mistakes. It's just you don't know. You know what I mean? In retrospect, you're like, oh, that was a mistake. But yeah, as you're going through it, no.
Yeah. So we basically, you know, with starting off a career, I basically realized with Shalom that, you know, you really don't need to put much money into it up front. You know, it's obviously it's like about the skills and the abilities, capabilities that are, you know, the accessibility that you have now. You're really able to do everything on your own. There's no excuses. So building your own following is important, you know. So, you know, we go through all that, those kind of things. But I think that Shalom has been like a really good kid. You know, he doesn't come at me too much. He knows, you know, the struggles of being a musician, a touring musician, and trying to make a living and feed six kids and all of that. So he's been cool about it. But he's in a lot of ways been kind of on his own in terms of, you know, he's only 17, but financially and stuff, he's got to take care of himself. Like when he's on tour, you know, he's like, he's working a little bit. So he gets a little per diem. He's got to pay for his own dinners. He's got to, you know, take care of himself and figure out a lot of stuff out for himself. So I think that's where we're at right now. Would you say, Shalom? I'm trying to get you to step up into that next level of manhood, of taking responsibility for basically the fact that financially for the rest of your life, you're going to have to figure it out. Overwhelming. Yeah.
You're setting me up on the way and how to learn how to be on your own and figure out, learn from your own mistakes, you know, and just go out into the world. The world is big. The world is crazy, you know, but kind of figure out your way.
Don't be afraid to make those mistakes, but try not to make the same one twice. You know what I mean? Because we've all made them, man. And if there's one word that I try to teach my son to just truly understand the meaning of, is accountability. It's going to follow you throughout your entire life, whether it be something small or something very major one day. You got to take accountability for your actions, whether they're good or whether they're bad. And, you know, own up to them and all that. And it's a struggle, man. And I'm sure your pops could tell you, it is... Being a dad, man, it's the hardest job I've ever loved, man. And one day, very, very confident, you will get to experience that yourself as well. But no rush, right? Unless you're down, Modest. Yeah, well, what about you? Want to be a grandpa anytime soon?
Oh, no, I'm good. I'm ready to, like, just, you know, raise two more little children and teenagers, you know, becoming men and everything else is plenty. Thank you.
There it is. So yeah, slow down, man. You know, just, you know, pump the brakes then. We don't need any grandkids yet. And you can tell the oldest next week when you get there. All right, you guys. Well, if there one final question I'd like to ask you before we wrap this thing up. It's free for you, Modest. And it's I like to think it is one of the more important questions I ask on this show, and I love getting different responses from all the guests. There's no right answer. There's no wrong answer, but no pressure. Sometimes there can be deeper answers. You'll understand here shortly. All right. If you could impart one piece of wisdom or advice onto any dad or new dad about to be new father, what's it going to be?
Well, That's a tough one. One piece of advice. I mean, I guess I would just say to try to enjoy it as much as possible.
There you go.
Enjoy.
Enjoy it.
Find the joy in it. You know, feel the joy in it. You know, obviously sometimes it's hard when you have no sleep or you step in a diaper or all of these different things, but try to be able to take the time to step back and look at it and see actually what a joyful experience it is, you know. Something along those lines, yeah, perhaps.
It truly is, man. I want to share a story with you. I was driving the other day, and me and my baby girl, who's not a baby anymore, damn it, almost 11 years old, but she loves singing, no matter what it is. I think she's going to take that path, and I'm absolutely enamored by that fact. But ever since she was a baby, she'll sing in the back seat, and I'd look in the rearview mirror and just watch, and you know, the heart will well up, just, oh, wow. And I did it the other day, and I just imagined 10 years went by like that. Snap of a finger, man, 10 years went by, and here she is, no longer in that chair. She doesn't need a booster, and she's singing in the back seat. In another snap of a finger, she's going to be 20 years old, probably out of the house, living life, and it's just so fleeting. So you got to enjoy those moments when you got them, man. It's like I said, the greatest job I've ever hated and loved. If you can even call it that. And Shalom, as parents, man, you guys, I don't know about Modest, I don't know about your dad, I'm assuming it'd probably be the same, but everything I do in my life is for my kids. It's for you. It's for them. And lead by example and try to do good for them and unleash them on this very, very cruel world that it is out there. And, you know, it's difficult. It's a lot of stress sometimes. It's to think that, you know, it's up to us, Modest, to raise these humans to be good and make the right decisions. And, oh, it's a lot of pressure. No pressure. Right?
Yeah, it is, for sure.
It absolutely is. All right. Okay. Now, with that being said, no more serious questions. We're done with that, but I did think of one. I want to tell you a quick story, then I swear I'll let you guys go. I'm going to ask both of you the same question. I want to tell you that this question was answered so profoundly by a certain individual who I'll share with you once we're done with the question, that it seems like a simple question, but I'd never heard a better answer, and in 20 years of doing radio interviews and podcasts and whatnot, I've been looking for someone to match what he said, so no pressure. And I've gotten about four or five guests who've come real close to answering this question as good as he did. We'll see if you guys have got what it takes. All right. Modest, going to ask you first, so Shalom, you're going to have time to think about it. What is one thing you cannot leave the house without?
Well, I heard one thing, my voice teacher used to say, like when you come take a lesson, when you come take a voice lesson, hang your ego on the door rack. But when you go back out into the street, make sure you take it with you.
Okay. I'm gonna have to stew on it, but that might be top three of the answers I've ever asked that question to. You'll understand in a moment here, Modest, but that is a good damn answer. Shalom, what about you? If you say your phone, you're fired.
not the phone. yeah, no, it's definitely a hard question, but I would say, like, I guess just like when you leave the house, like walk out with your confidence and just know like you're going out into this world. So you gotta be prepared for what might come after you, but also just, yeah, walk out with confidence when you leave your house.
Very good answer. That is proper too. Now, see, most people will answer that question, my phone. I mean, I've been doing this so long. They say they're BlackBerry, et cetera, et cetera. They're keys, you know, and those answers are fine, but. So, it was many years ago doing a radio show, and I had George Thorogood on the phone. And I was doing my quick little interview, threw down that question, and without skipping a beat, the man answered this. George, what's one thing you can't leave the house without? Kissing my wife.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I went, holy shit, that is the best answer I've ever heard. It's thoughtful, it was quick, he didn't need any time to prepare, and I've been looking for that answer since then. Ego, make sure you take it back. Confidence, take it with you. Those are just right up there with that answer. Second place so far, forget who it was. It was a few months ago, a guest we had on, but he said intentions. Good or bad, don't leave the house without some intention of some sort. And I thought that was great. But gentlemen,
cool.
You guys have been absolutely amazing. I'm sorry Nick had to skip out early.
No problem.
Are we doing any more tours aside from Israel here later this year? More importantly, are either of you going to make it to Vegas and or any spots in Oregon so I can come check you out?
We got some shows coming up. I'm not sure about Vegas or Oregon right now, but we're putting some things together. I'm going to be out in Puerto Rico on the 19th of April after Israel. And then West Palm Sunfest on the May 5th, and some other places.
Cinco de Mayo in West Palm Beach. That's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, that should be good. And Shalom is looking at playing a show in New York City coming up sometime soon, I think.
May 8th in Williamsburg. I'm going to be having my own show. It's called Breaking Sound. So it's like a bunch of young artists and it's just like a collective, and they play a concert together. And coming up soon.
I'm assuming you're going to be posting lots of TikToks and whatnot regarding that show.
Yeah.
Nice.
Promotion and all that.
Nice. I will check it out. I'll be more than happy to share as well. And of course, if you guys do the same for us when this episode drops, it should be out a week from Thursday. We're going to give it about a week to promote this bad boy. That is it, you guys. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on. It's been much appreciated. It's been really cool to chat with you, Modest. Shalom. You guys have got a great story, man. It is great. I wish you Godspeed and good luck next week in Israel, Modest.
Thank you.
I hope it's going to be an amazing show and no stupid anything. No, we won't get into it, but you know what I'm talking about. No, for lack of a better way to put it, no bullshit. All right. If that's
all cool. Right.
To everyone watching worldwide, wherever you may be and however you may be watching and or listening, thank you so much for the support. We love you. We appreciate you. Make sure you like, subscribe, do all the things, and we will catch you on the very next episode of Dadcast. Have a great rest of your day. Modest Yahoo, Shalom. Thank you, man.
Thank you, guys.